So today is the most sacred, most holy disappearance day of Srila Haridas Thakur. And this morning after Mangal Arti, one of the devotees said something very beautiful. I don't know if he was quoting from somewhere, but he said that if we could just have a drop of the ocean of the love, of Haridas Thakur's love for the holy name, we would be so blessed. Yesterday was the appearance day of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And over 100 years ago, Bhaktivinod Thakur wrote a rhyming couplet in honor of Haridas Thakur, in honor of today. And he said, he must have been feeling separation from Haridas Thakur as he was meditating on these words. It's so beautiful. He says, maybe you've heard this before, written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when they are living still in sound. The Vaishnava dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. In honor of disappearance day of Haridas Thakur. In the Navadvip Mahatma, it says that Srila Haridas Thakur was the combined form of Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. So Lord Brahma had such a high birth as the most intelligent, smartest guy in the room, right? Most intelligent person in the universe. But then he became a victim of his own pride. So he wanted to take birth as Haridas Thakur. Hari Bol, Trish. Nice to see you. Just recognized you. Hari Bol. Hari Kirtan. Dear friends from Washington. So, he wanted to take birth as Haridas Thakur to show the world, to show the mission of Lord Chaitanya, that everyone is included in this great mission of Lord Chaitanya, that it's not for any sectarian group of high caste Brahmins or anyone else. Lord Chaitanya's mission was that it's for the whole world. It's inclusive. It's broad. And so that's very, very important. I was thinking, if we had a verse on the board today, we don't, but in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Sri Harinam Chintamani, which is almost like a novel of Haridas Thakur speaking about the glories of the holy name to Lord Chaitanya, kind of in the same way that Lord Chaitanya got Ramananda Roy to glorify the essence of devotional service in his conversation, Ramananda Samvada. So in the same way in this kind of novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur is glorifying the holy name. And so this verse, it's quoted from the Padma Purana, but this verse appears in that part of the Harinam Chintamani, also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So maybe you know this verse. I think I'll say it in English. This is a really quintessential verse about glorifying the holy name. So I'll say it in English and then I'll say it in Sanskrit. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. So I'll say it in Sanskrit. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Sudho Nitya Mukta, always pure, always liberated, Binatvam Nama Namina, and none different from Krishna. So such a beautiful verse. So there's so many things that someone could say about Haridas Thakur. When I was thinking about speaking about Haridas Thakur today, I was thinking that I was wondering if he walked into one of our temples today, would we recognize him? Would anyone recognize his great stature and his great realization of the holy name? sometimes we see so many pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that great saints, great realized souls, they recognize other great souls, right? They recognize the stature of other great souls. But my question, this is kind of the theme of what I wanted to talk about today, is would we recognize such a person if he walked in, maybe dressed like a Muslim, maybe dressed like a Sufi, maybe not, you know, with a shaved head. Usually we see pictures of Haridas Thakur, he's got a shaved head, looks just like a Paka Vaishnava. But did he really dress like that in that very stratified hierarchical culture of that time? And would we even recognize him? There's a story of, so if you look at this Guru Parampara up here, Srila Prabhupada, his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his Diksha guru, Gorkhashardas Babaji, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there was another great renunciate around that time. His name was Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, and he was very, very... Jai Shishi, Radhagokulananda, Shishi Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Shishi Gonatai. He was a great renunciate, like Gorkhashardas Babaji, but he was so off the grid. I mean, he just was, you know, he looked kind of, if there's one picture of him, and he, have you ever seen a picture of him? He looks like a complete wild man, like his hair's wild and his eyes look wild. And by the way, he was born in a family of fishermen. Isn't that interesting? So he wasn't also a high caste Brahmin person. But he could recognize when he was, they say that when he would see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada's guru, when he would see him coming, he would say, "Oh, a Manjari is coming." He said, "Surely Radha will come." Yes, Radha will surely come because the Manjari is coming. So my point is that these great souls, they could recognize other great souls. But would we, you know? Would we think, oh, you know, here's a Muslim guy. He'll probably never become a devotee. And, you know, what does he know? You know, I was remembering when Bhaktitirtha Swami first came to the temple in New York. The temple at that time was in Brooklyn. And most of the devotees kind of neglected him and just kind of treated him in a racist sort of a way. He was a great, became one of the great leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement, a great renunciate sannyasi. But he was, people, most of the devotees in New York thought, yeah, you know, he's, who is this? He's kind of a flamboyant black guy. He'll never become a devotee. So yeah, would we recognize Haridas Thakur today? Would we recognize a similar great saint if they walked in here today? Maybe you've heard the saying, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. You know, but when we're blinded by our own false ego, our own misconceptions, we can't see, right? We can't see the way a pure, great pure devotee can see. And so, yeah, I'm just wondering, are temples always welcoming to strangers, to the uninvited guest? Maybe many of you might be familiar with this aphorism from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Atiti Deva Bhava, the uninvited guest should be treated as God. That's considered a maxim in Vedic India, right? Matru Deva Bhava, Pitru Deva Bhava, Acharya Deva Bhava, Atiti Deva Bhava, the mother, the father, the great teacher, and the uninvited guest should all be respected as good as God. So yeah, thinking back to that time when Haridas Thakur appeared, there was such a rigid caste system, right? Rupan Sanatan, maybe you've heard the great Rupan Sanatan Goswamis. They were rejected from Brahminical society just because they were employed by the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. And at that time, a Hindu could lose their caste and completely be rejected from their family and society just by, if some Muslim would just sprinkle some water, they would, could be rejected from the whole society. And yet at that time, the great Advaita Acharya recognized the great Haridas Thakur and honored him with the first offering from his father's Shraddha ceremony. So the Shraddha ceremony is a ceremony that's performed to after the passing of someone's family members. What time is this class go to? 8:30 or 8:45? 8:30. Okay. Not so strict, huh? Okay. So Advaita Acharya was performing the Shraddha ceremony for his deceased father. And the first remnants of prasad at the end of that ceremony are supposed to be given to the most high caste Brahmin in the area. And Advaita Acharya just turned and neglected those high caste Brahmins and gave the first remnants of the Shraddha ceremony to Haridas Thakur. How radical, how revolutionary, how extraordinary that he was so deeply honoring Haridas Thakur and you know, just not conforming to those rigid sectarian rules of society at that time. Lord Chaitanya also honored him, recognized him. He honored Haridas Thakur as the greatest authority on chanting the holy name. Think of how many great devotees there were at that time, you know. So many great realized persons. And yet Lord Chaitanya honored Haridas Thakur as the greatest authority of chanting the holy name. And so, yeah, I just wanted us to kind of think of on this disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, to think of the context of that time. Here's Lord Chaitanya. He's born, he's a sannyasi, so he's the highest of the whole social order. And he himself born in a high Brahmin family and in Puri, this disappearance day of Haridas Thakur was the most extraordinary event. When Lord Chaitanya, so Haridas Thakur, right, he's considered an untouchable, right? I mean, we can't even imagine what that means for us now, what it meant then. And Lord Chaitanya not only touched this so-called untouchable, but he picked up the body of Haridas Thakur and danced with him. They say in India, nobody really touches a dead body. There's a certain caste of people who touch dead bodies. Like, even the lowest people don't touch dead bodies. There's a certain caste for that. And so here's Lord Chaitanya picking him up and dancing with his dead body and placing it in this samadhi. And then Lord Chaitanya is saying that, you know, this seashore has now become a holy pilgrimage because this sea has bathed the sacred body of Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya was so beyond any caste considerations, and he was sending a powerful message to everyone at that time and to all of us today that a devotee of Krishna, a Vaishnava, is beyond all caste considerations. This is the eternal inclusive message of Lord Chaitanya and our acharyas. Yeah. And you know, sometimes I wonder if you think of that, like, my dear Sarva Mangala is here. She used to do so many plays here at the manor with the other devotees. So if there were a play of that pastime of Lord Chaitanya dancing with the body of Haridas Thakur, can you imagine that there might... Lord Chaitanya was in so much ecstasy, right? He was just overwhelmed with ecstasy. And can you imagine if it were a play, could there maybe be some outsider standing on the side, like watching this, someone who didn't understand the greatness of Haridas Thakur, maybe standing on the side and just saying, look at this Chaitanya, you know, breaking all the rules of the caste system. What is he doing? He's going to destroy everything. He's dancing with the body of this untouchable. You know, you can imagine, right? There could have been such people at that time just standing on the side, just criticizing Lord Chaitanya and criticizing, you know, Haridas Thakur. Yeah. So there's so many pastimes of Haridas Thakur given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we know, so speaking of kind of someone who possibly having an offensive mentality, we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita at that time there was a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's guru, Ramachandra Puri, who was very critical of Lord Chaitanya. So such people with offensive mentalities were there at that time. And what about me? Which side would I have been on? You know what I mean? Like, where would, with my consciousness, where would I have stood? Would I have been one of those people recognizing the greatness of Haridas Thakur? Or because of my materialistic mentality, would I maybe have been one of the ones on the side saying, who is this Haridas Thakur? And why is Chaitanya dancing with his body? So I think it brings up some introspection for us. What do you guys think? You know, it seems to me an important consideration. That we have to be so careful to be in our own consciousness, to be rooted in humility. And do I really have the power to discern who is a saint and who's not a saint, right? Yeah. Better to remain very humble and respect everyone and welcome any new person, every so-called outsider, right? Someone who first walks in the temple. Because everyone is dear and beloved to Krishna. We don't know their past. We don't know their future. Best to respect everyone. In the Hebrew Bible, it also says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Because you might show hospitality to an angel without knowing it. So, yeah, how very, very important. Just like our history in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of Maharaj Ranti Dev. He was fasting for a year. And then he started getting tested. He was about to break his fast, right? And then he started getting tested by all these devatas coming disguised as a hunter and as an outcast and dogs. Everybody saying, I'm really hungry. Can I have some? Can I have all of it? And you know, he's so selfless. And he's just, here he's, can you imagine fasting for a year? I mean, I don't know if it was a complete and total fast, but maybe it was an Ekadasi fast. But anyway, he was hungry, right? And these devatas disguised as all of these low entities come one after another begging him for his food. And then he's so generous. His heart is so broad, right? So broad-minded without discrimination. And at the end, they all revealed himself and blessed him. So, yeah, that's kind of my point here. Where would I stand? Where would you stand? Something to introspect about, right? So let's go back to the early life, the youth of Haridas Thakur. And it seems to me when I think about the whole life story of Haridas Thakur, it's kind of a dichotomy between those who recognized him as a saint and those who were envious of him. Every story seems to kind of reflect back to that point, that those who are envious of him, who are trying to always tear him down and defame him, and then those who were actually recognized that he was a great saint. So in the beginning, there was this envious ruler. He was ruling the district where Haridas Thakur was living. His name was Ramachandra Khan. And he sent a beautiful, famous prostitute to cause Haridas Thakur to fall down and lose his esteemed reputation. You know, envious people, they can't stand it, right, when someone else is being honored. So he wanted to send this beautiful, beautiful, famous prostitute to make sure that Haridas would lose his big reputation. But so what I'm talking about here, so out of compassion, Haridas, so we're talking about recognizing, right? Recognizing a saintly person, seeing the heart. So here, Haridas himself, he recognized the innocent heart of this prostitute, right? He could see that even though she was a prostitute, her heart was innocent. And he stayed around for 3 days just chanting so that she could hear the holy name from him, and then he blessed her. And she became a great devotee of Krishna, that very prostitute, right? Maybe you all know this story. And at another time, there was an envious Qazi who was, he decreed that Haridas was, he's defying the rules of the Muslim faith and he should be beaten in 22 marketplaces. He's betraying Islam. He's taking up this Hindu religion. So he should be beaten for trying to practice the what he thought is the practice, the religious practice of the Hindus. So then after beating him again and again and again, the 22 marketplaces, nobody can live through this, right? But then these would-be executioners, they're just getting frustrated, right? Like, why aren't you dying? Can you just please die? Why don't you just die? And if you don't die, then the Qazi's going to accuse us that we haven't really done our job and we're too easy on you, and he's going to want to kill us. So can you just die, please? And then Haridas was like, oh, am I causing you some trouble by not dying? Okay, well, I'll just die then. And so he just went into an ecstatic trance. He fainted. And the guys beating him were like, relief, what a relief. And so they thought he was dead. They threw him in the Ganga, and which is a great insult for a Muslim person to not get a proper Muslim burial. They threw him in the Ganga thinking he died. But Haridas was just feeling the pain of those people who were whipping him, because he didn't want them to be inconvenienced. He wasn't even feeling his own pain. In the early pastimes with Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya ordered Haridas and Nityananda to go out together, and each day they would go and give the holy name to everyone they would meet. This was the order of Lord Chaitanya to them. And Lord Nityananda had a plan to show Jagai and Madhai extraordinary mercy, right? So Haridas Thakur understood the merciful heart of Nityananda. And when Jagai and Madhai were cursing them in anger, Haridas and Nityananda, they both had to run away to save their lives. Another great play this could be, right? And they're both laughing, right? They're just running away laughing. And Haridas recognized this pure heart of the young Lord Nityananda, and just, he's just, again, off the grid. He's going to give his mercy to anyone, and he's going to get us both killed probably here. But in any case, Jagai and Madhai should be saved, right? So then, another story about Haridas Thakur. He recognized the pure heart of the young Raghunath Das Goswami, who wasn't a Goswami yet. But Haridas used to come to the home of Raghunath Das Goswami. His father and uncle were big zamindars, or big landholders in that area, very, very immensely wealthy people. And Haridas recognized that young boy and gave him blessings that he that would in the future enable Raghunath Das to get the shelter of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya later in his life. So there was a discourse at the home of this father and uncle. So this father and uncle of Raghunath Das, they were devotees, they were Vaishnavas, but they were kind of materialistic Vaishnavas. They weren't in the mood of renunciation like the other followers of Lord Chaitanya. But they recognized, even they recognized the greatness of Haridas Thakur to some extent. Someone mentioned that Haridas Thakur was chanting 300,000 names of Krishna daily. And at this gathering, everyone was discussing the benefits of chanting the holy name. Was the real benefit getting liberation or getting freed from sinful reactions? So Haridas Thakur, he revealed to everyone in this group that this was also mentioned this morning, someone mentioned when they were talking about Haridas, that the real benefit of chanting the holy name is to awaken ecstatic love for Krishna beyond liberation, beyond getting free from sinful reactions. Just like the example is given that when the sun rises, before you even see the sun, the darkness is gone. Have you noticed that in the morning? Before you can even see the sun, the darkness is gone. So that's compared to the rising of the holy name in the heart. Those sinful reactions start to get dissipated before ecstatic love is revealed in the heart. So there was one arrogant young man. He was a tax collector who was employed by this Hiranya and Govardhan, who were the father and uncle of Haridas Thakur. So he was very arrogant. He was very, very beautiful. Young guy. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He was working under them as a tax collector. And he couldn't tolerate Haridas Thakur saying this, that liberation and to get rid of sinful reactions are just sort of byproducts of the holy name, you know. It made him crazy, right? He couldn't tolerate it. And so Haridas was insisting that, yes, this is true. These are just sideline byproducts of chanting the holy name. The real benediction is to awaken ecstatic love. So Gopal started arguing with him. He said, well, if this is not true, you're saying this, if it's not really true, then I curse you that your nose will fall off. Crazy, right? Ever hear anybody say something like that? I curse you that your nose will fall off. And Haridas just humbly accepted the challenge. Another great possible play, right? Haridas accepted the challenge and said, yes, he said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. And then everybody in the assembly was so disturbed that Haridas was insulted. And even these materialistic devotees, Hiranya and Govardhan, they recognized these self-effulgent qualities of the so-called untouchable Haridas, right? And Haridas was just smiling, saying, don't worry, Gopal Chakravarti, he's a mundane logician. And a person like that can't really understand the glories of the holy name. No one can understand the glories of the holy name by logic and argument, right? So we have to look at the character again of Haridas Thakur. He didn't get offended, right? You know, sometimes today in the Krishna consciousness movement, we talk about, like, they read the offenses to the holy name this morning, right? You're not supposed to offend a Vaishnava. But what about getting offended by a Vaishnava? So sometimes you hear different things. I'm so offended. You know, Haridas wasn't offended. Here he is. He's so humble. His shining of self-effulgent character. He didn't get offended as maybe one of us would be in a situation like that. Yeah. So often out of pride or envy, we cause offenses to other people, but maybe just as bad to be offended by somebody over trifles, you know. Remember, Srila Prabhupada went to Butler, Pennsylvania before going to New York, and the family he was supposed to stay with for a month, they were keeping meat in the refrigerator. Sally Agarwal, she had some devotional sense in her heart, and she said, oh, Swamiji, this must be so offensive to you to come in. We've just cooked dinner, and the smell of meat is here, and they're keeping meat in the refrigerator, and Prabhupada had a few vegetables he was putting in there. And he just said, you know, he said, yes. He didn't say, yes, I am so offended. No, Srila Prabhupada said, think nothing of it. Such a classic, nice Mahavakya of Srila Prabhupada. Think nothing of it. It's all right. And he so charmed the heart of Sally Agarwal just being there for a few days in their home. So, yeah. So an undisturbed Vaishnava is Trinadapi Sunichena, just blessing everyone and saying, don't worry that I've been insulted. So then but what happens is the Vaishnava doesn't care if he's insulted, she's insulted. But Krishna takes it very seriously. So according to the tale or the pastime, the history in Chaitanya Charitamrita, 3 days later, this beautiful, beautiful Gopal Chakravarti contacted leprosy. And what happens when someone gets leprosy? Anybody know? Their nose falls off, right? Their fingers, their beautiful fingers and toes fall off. Their nose falls off. So, yeah. So Krishna doesn't tolerate offenses to his pure devotees. Then later in Puri, Haridas Thakur was prohibited from entering the Jagannath temple. Yet Jagannath personified was coming every day. Lord Chaitanya was coming every day, recognizing the greatness, the great saintliness of Haridas Thakur, coming in every day, bringing him prasadam from Jagannath. So yeah, mundane caste Brahmins would never recognize the pure heart and the devotional stature of Haridas Thakur, and they didn't allow him to enter the Jagannath temple. So, just remembering Haridas Thakur today and how he was recognized by those who are pure in heart, and how with his pure heart he also recognized others and forgave those who offended him. You know, the beautiful verses in, it's in the second to last volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila. Lord Chaitanya came to see Haridas Thakur, and Haridas was just holding the feet of Lord Chaitanya on his heart. And he just wanted to leave this world, just seeing the beautiful moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya with his eyes. Lord Chaitanya told him, he said, "Don't leave me, Haridas. Whatever happiness is mine is due to your association. Don't leave me. How can I live without your association?" And Haridas so beautifully said, "My Lord, don't create an illusion. There are so many great personalities who are fit to sit on my head. And they are all so helpful in your pastimes." And then this classic line, maybe you know this line, Haridas said, "If an insignificant insect like me dies, what is the loss?" That's where he saw himself, you know. So Haridas left this world by his own sweet will, just like Bhishma Dev. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma Dev had the benediction that he could leave this world by his own will at the time he would choose. So after that, Lord Chaitanya said that Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world, and that without him, this world would now be bereft of its valuable jewel. And then Lord Chaitanya told everyone, "All glory." He told everyone, "Say all glories to Haridas Thakur and chant the holy name of Hari." And Lord Chaitanya began to dance in ecstasy, and everyone began to dance, "All glory." And they were all chanting, "All glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord." So these are a few thoughts. We have some time for a conversation, for reflection, for questions. But in conclusion, I just really want to say that I deeply pray that if anyone visits one of our temples, perhaps dressed in a different way, perhaps dressed as a Muslim or as a Christian or as a Sikh or as an anything, just someone from another culture, if they visit one of our temples, my prayer is that they would be welcomed without discrimination or sectarianism. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya welcomed and recognized Haridas Thakur during their time. So these are a few thoughts. Thank you all so much. What was important for you here? Are there any reflections or any questions? Or yes, Prabhu. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gornita Ki Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, maybe just some reflection. So obviously, thank you for reminding us that being a Vaishnava is not something external. And for me, a second point also, a reminder, is that we shouldn't be afraid of challenges as well. Because when we see all these great souls, what they've been through, like, what about us, you know?
Yeah, so true.
So
true. Beautiful reflection, yeah. It's not such a cheap thing, right? Yeah. Once a devotee wrote a prayer to Prabhupada, and at the end he said, "Your devotee is praying." And Prabhupada said, "No, you shouldn't call yourself a devotee. You should say, your servant is praying." Because to be a devotee is not an ordinary thing. So it's a very, very high and deep realization. And when we're covered by pride and arrogance, we can't recognize what a Vaishnava is or who a Vaishnava is who might come into our midst, right? You know, so we require that Trinadapi Sunichena. We require humility to recognize another great soul. So what else? Any other reflections? Or Trish? Professor Trish is a professor in a university.
Thank you. That was very enjoyable and illuminating to listen to. And since I like comparisons between religions and spiritualities, a figure who some of your anecdotes reminded me of in Western Catholic Christianity is Thomas Aquinas, of whom, well, you probably know, but just for everyone here, so there was Well, Thomas Aquinas was from an Italian medieval noble family, and his family wanted him to be a crusader, a knight during the Middle Ages, to go to war for God. Thomas Aquinas wanted to be a monk, in fact, and he was very keen on this. His family was upset that he wanted to be a renunciate, so they basically had him locked up in a castle to induce him to give up this religious vocation. And he sat in there for a year or two refusing.
A year or two.
And then his family sent basically a beautiful woman to tempt him away from his vocation. Thomas Aquinas was a little bit less, I guess, polite than Haridas Thakur. He, according to the story, he grabbed like a burning log out of the fireplace and like brandished it and said, "Get out of here." But after this, his family relented. And they're like, "You know what? Okay, become a monk. You're clearly not going to do anything else." But he's known for being a big like theologian, a big writer. And he was also literally a huge person. He was very like tall. He was very big, you know. And apparently he was this big, kind of not intelligent looking person. And so his classmates, when he started studying theology, called him the dumb ox. Because he just sat there.
They didn't recognize him.
No, he was very quiet and humble and just kind of like, okay. and then it was only when he started writing, like years down the road, that people were like, "Oh, wow, he's actually like a brilliant mind." Wow. And so he humbly just kind of, went with all that. So that was some of the like parallels, I guess.
Thank you.
That came to mind.
So what a grace to be able to recognize and to access that grace. We need humility in our hearts. If I'm arrogant, proud, I can't recognize a great devotee. Here's such a great theologian of the Catholic Church, was called the dumb ox by his classmates. And then he went on to write so many amazing, illuminating scriptures. Yeah, Prabhupada, in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and other writings, he always talks about Haridas Thakur and Jesus Christ at the same time. He always says, great, you know, martyrs or those who have suffered like Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ, great selfless personalities. Yeah, what else? Yes.
My interest comes from my own studies that I'm doing, and I'd like to
Which
know...
Which studies?
I'm researching on... the Sikh Empire, myself.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
The rise and the fall of the Sikh Empire.
Oh, the Sikh Empire. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'd like to know, Haridas Thakur that you talked about, what period of history would that be? Is there any inkling?
Do you have any? So this was in the 1600s, right? So you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita and you can see the pastimes of Haridas Thakur.
Yes.
Amazing pastimes. Of course, Guru Nanak was a contemporary at that time. Guru Nanak, they say that he was there in Jagannath Puri and he recognized another great example of a great soul recognizing another great soul. So apparently, at least the story goes that Guru Nanak was in Puri and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And someone said to him, "Well, aren't you going to see Lord Jagannath in the temple?" And he, after seeing Chaitanya, Guru Nanak said, "I have had my darshan of the Lord." So that's what they say.
I would love this information. Of course, I would research it myself, but if there's anything else that you can actually impart with, I'd be really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So beautiful.
Thank you for the class. What came to mind when you were speaking was how Prabhupada said this movement is meant to be a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misguided civilization. So it's like, if we're very narrow-minded and you know, and critical, how would that happen? How would we be able to even serve anybody and help them to enter into an experience of chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so true. When we read these literatures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see examples of extraordinary humility. And yet in our modern day ISKCON, sometimes we see examples of people not being so humble, offending others, being offended, internet, social media. You know, that's not the character of a Vaishnava. So we have to have great discernment and great humility to be able to know how to love and how to serve following the line of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not a sannyasi. Who am I? I'm a servant of a servant of a servant of the Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis.
Right on. Thank you.
Thank you. What else? Yes. Coco. This is extraordinary. Usually wherever I go, the men are asking all the questions and the ladies, I have to like beg them to ask a question. So sometimes I have to say, okay, no questions from the men, only one from the ladies. So thank you all. This is revolutionary. I'm so grateful. But I'll give you guys a turn also. Don't feel discriminated against. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Let's see. So as a young devotee or as a neophyte devotee, sometimes you learn about the philosophy and you're trying to reinforce your own faith and your own steadiness. And when you hear someone else's opinion, which is like very different from, you know, and especially if Prabhupada says that is, you know, unintelligent or something, right? He's all, of course, right. We adopt this opinion that people who are not yet Krishna conscious are unintelligent. And then when we preach to them, we're like, oh yeah, we know everything. And you don't know anything. So I have to tell you everything. Yeah. And, so how do you balance, what my interest point is actually because I feel unconfident sometimes to preach to a person when I'm not yet sure about this myself. So how can I, you know, be strong?
Thanks. Nice question. Well, first of all, I think there's a lot of imitation going on. Devotees are very fond of imitating Prabhupada, you know. And sometimes Prabhupada would say, I can say these things, you cannot, you know. You know, Prabhupada sometimes criticized Gandhi. And if I go out and criticize Gandhi, people think, what kind of a jerky person are you? Who do you think you are, you know? So there's a lot of imitation going on. But then also the other point is, let's see, you were saying you don't feel, oh yeah, so I was thinking when you asked that question, I was thinking, you're saying, how can I preach? How can I share Krishna consciousness with anyone? I know so little. Well, Prabhupada's beautiful example was maybe I heard Shama Sundar Prabhu was here for a month recently, so his little daughter Saraswati was so enthusiastic. Prabhupada loved to talk about little Saraswati. She was 3 or 4 years old, and she would walk up to someone and say, do you know who is Krishna? Like, no, who is Krishna? She said, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada would talk about that was Prabhupada's example of preaching, that all you have to know is that Krishna's, have faith that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and share that in such a simple way. So we can follow the example of little Saraswati, you know. Speak from your own realization. You have some experience. You've been here for some time. You have some experience of maybe some sweetness of chanting, maybe some sweetness of seeing the deities or being in the association of devotees. So we can try to speak from our realization, you know. And that's preaching. It's nice to try to not speak beyond my realization, but speak in a humble and simple way and try to share. Just like when you have something sweet, you always want to share it, right? You're tasting some kind of a yummy something. You've got to taste this. This is so yummy, right? Because that's a natural human instinct and behavior. When you're tasting something sweet, you want to share it. So share from your realization. This is yummy. Krishna's yummy. You know. Is that helpful? What else? Yadubara. He has a Yadubara Prabhu is so humble. He's not wildly raising his hand.
Well, I was thinking of the Bilvan Mangala Thakur before he became a great devotee. He was addicted to the association of women. And so what people thought of him at that point, but later he became a great devotee. So even an apparently fallen person, we should also respect and try to uplift.
Right.
We shouldn't judge even fallen people.
Yeah, it's so hope-giving, isn't it? Yeah, every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. So, you know, if we live in humility, then we won't make arrogant mistakes of judging and misjudging and condemning. And yeah. Yes, Prabhu, you have a thought? You have?
I can just think about the school program that's here, looking after, under the guise of Hinduism, the children here, they come. I've been given the figures of 11,000 school children come here under the school program, and what they're doing is, you know, some people say, well, we shouldn't be under this guise of Hinduism, but actually, we're getting all these children here. And they're all here in Hare Krishna. They're all learning the culture under the guise of Hinduism. And they said 11,000 children come through here under this thing. They said we shouldn't use this word Hindu. But actually, Prabhupada would I'd like to think that Prabhupada would give his blessing for such preaching as these the outside education services are doing now with these school children coming here every day.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's fantastic. Prabhupada would say different things. We have to take Prabhupada in context. Once he said, anyway, today we are known as Hindus. You know, he would say different things.
Yeah.
You know, once I was at the Bhakti Center, and they don't have that regular program like you have here, but there was a group of school children that came to the Bhakti Center in New York. And this one little boy, it was so amazing. Talk about sinners having a future, saints having a past. This one little boy is just looking around the temple room at the deities and the pictures, and he said, I dreamt of this last night. And someone said, well, what did you dream exactly? He said, all of this, everything. He just dreamt of the whole experience of being in the temple the previous night. So, wow, you know. So, yeah, we should give Krishna consciousness in a very broad way without discrimination, because we don't know who we're dealing with. You know,
well, we got lady monks here for a week. Isn't
lady
it?
Monks.
On a special course.
Oh, nice.
Be a
lady
monk
monks.
For a week.
Be a lady monk for
a
week.
Under,
cool. Thank you. Well, thank you all so much. Thank you for being a lady monk for a week. It's cool and it's fun, right? Yeah. And nobody's going to lock you in a tower for 2 years. I don't know what he was eating for 2 years. But anyway, thank you all so much. Thank you for being here. All glories to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and all glories to all of you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.